I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo.
A gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into another episode of The Memo, a new week. It's Monday, February the 8th, 2016. Brad Locke here with you. Derek Russell not with us today. I don't know where he is.
He's
off goofing off. Did he go back to Disney World? I don't know. No, I guess not. Emma's here, though. Emma Kent. Hey.
I'm here. Hey, Brad. How's it going?
Good. Going well. Thanks for stepping in again. Pinch hitting.
Yeah.
Derek keeps doing this again. You're just going to have to be the permanent co-host.
I kind of feel that way.
Yeah,
almost.
Well, with him being gone for those 2 weeks and you filled in so much.
I feel like I've been here a lot.
Derek fills in when Emma can't make it.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, good weekend.
Enjoy the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I guess so. It was kind of a boring game.
Yeah, I mean, I like defensive games. A lot of people are like, oh, it's low scoring, a lot of defense, a lot of punts. Not a good game. I thought it was pretty good, but I understand people wanting to see offense. Okay, I get it.
Yeah.
I'm also the type of guy who likes a 2-1 pitcher's duel in baseball. Yeah. Not everybody's down with that.
You read my mind. Yeah, I like defensive games.
Yeah, but
a lot better, especially in baseball.
It was a close game.
Yeah,
and it was. I enjoyed watching Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware go crazy. And Cam Newton has never, not this season at least, not been hit like that and chased around. So best defense in the NFL. I mean, you know, good defense beats good offense, I guess, most of the time. So
defense wins championships.
Exactly.
Again.
And Peyton Manning doesn't hurt to have him on your team. And he didn't like have a big game because, you know, Carolina's got a good defense as well. But nice to see him go out on top, assuming this is his last game.
And he's Peyton Manning. So.
Yeah. You can't not like Peyton Manning, in my opinion. I think that goes for all the Mannings personally. But
Unless you're a sponsor for Miller Lite, maybe.
Well, now here's the thing, though. I think Sab Miller is now the the big conglomerate. They own both Budweiser and Miller, if I'm not mistaken.
So maybe the microbreweries aren't very happy right now.
Yeah. And speaking of Budweiser and commercials, they had another one of their annoying, "Hey, we're Budweiser." Commercials last night. We're better because we're Budweiser and we're blah, 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 blah. I mean, it's basically their reaction to micro brews and craft beer. And that's great. You have the budget to spend on those commercials. Not backing down since 1876, except for Prohibition.
Details, Brad. What did y'all think about the commercials yesterday?
They were okay. Apparently, the Dachshund commercial was really popular, but I missed that one.
Oh, I liked that one a lot.
Totally missed it. So what happened?
It was really funny. It's a bunch of dachshunds, and they're all wearing hot dog costumes. And it's like a huge, I mean, like a herd of sheep, but dachshunds. And they're just running toward a line of people dressed up as Heinz ketchups and mustards. And then they, like, jump into their arms, and, like, there's a little kid dressed up like a ketchup packet. It was, I mean, it's really adorable. It was cute.
Who is it for?
I have to look it
up. It was for Heinz. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It was good.
Yeah, because Heinz is, like, getting So they're getting into the mustard game now, aren't they? I guess they have been, but you don't usually think of French's mustard.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think they've been pushing the mustard product, whatever.
Yeah.
So I didn't see that one.
That Prius one seemed pretty popular.
The Prius was pretty funny.
It was good.
It was a series of two or three of them chasing a Prius, and so the cops had to get their own Priuses because Lord knows you couldn't catch a Prius with like a Dodge Charger or something.
Right.
Got to get other Priuses.
Mustang.
It's a Prius.
I liked the Super Bowl babies commercial.
That was pretty funny.
That one was really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was cute.
Yeah, it was. It was cute. I'm trying to think. There was one or two others. The one with Christopher Walken was a little disappointing because it's Christopher Walken. You think you can't go wrong, but it just kind of fell flat.
Yeah, I was kind of like waiting for it to like,
yeah,
you know, it just kind of never got there.
Yeah, I mean, I'll watch anything with Christopher
Walken.
It
was still good, but
I thought it could have been better. It was some car. I forget what it was.
It was a Kia.
Kia, yeah.
And you're like,
Kias. Gosh, what else was there? Trying to remember.
There's that weird Doritos commercial. Did y'all see that one?
I don't remember it.
The one?
Maybe.
With the woman at the doctor?
I must have. Oh, yeah, that one is pretty good. I actually liked that
I mean,
one.
It was funny, but it was kind of weird.
Yeah, the baby keeps moving around when he's moving the Doritos bag, and then he moves it one direction, and the baby, like, I guess, shoots out of the mom. The worst commercial.
Yeah, she's like pregnant.
And the baby comes
and
out.
And it's like on the, like it's on like the ultrasound thing. Right. And they're like moving the Dorito around and the baby's like following it. And then they throw it like across the room and the baby just like.
That's kind of weird.
The worst commercial. It was kind of funny though. The worst commercial by far, but I guess it's going to be memorable because it was so bad, was the Puppy Monkey Baby.
That was weird.
Mountain Dew commercial.
I felt weird about that.
Puppy Monkey Baby. Puppy Monkey Baby. Puppy Monkey Baby. Just kept, you know, and then they had CGI'd this creature with the head of a pug, it looked like.
Yeah.
The body, torso of a monkey, and then the legs of a baby wearing a diaper and is walking around
dancing.
What
was dancing that even for?
Mountain Dew, some kind of stupid Mountain Dew drink that will kill you if you drink it every day.
Nice.
Yeah. Mountain Dew's bad. It's terrible. Terrible.
Yeah.
Rot your teeth out, kids. Don't drink it. It goes for all sodas. I'm not picking on Mountain Dew. Anyway, we have a show today.
We sure do.
I guess it'll be a good show. I can say it'll be a good show today. Yeah. We've got Lauren Wood talking about her photo essay in Focus today about cakes. Delicious cakes. We've got Riley Manning coming in to talk about that awesome concert that I'm going to that's coming up in April. I love the 90s with Tone Loc and Coolio and all those awesome performers. Vanilla Ice. All those aging as their prime performers. I don't care. I'm there.
Bring you back. When will it bring you back to, Brad?
Junior high and high school. Yeah. Tone Loc came on the scene when I was like in 7th or 8th grade. Remember the song Wild Thing, don't you, Chris? Mm-hmm. Emma might not. That probably came out
back to the years of my birth.
I think it probably came out before you were born, actually, because that came out in like 88, 89.
Yep. 93.
90, somewhere in the, gosh, 93. That's when I started my senior year of high school, was 93. But yeah, I played drums back then. That's when I got into playing the percussion for the band. And Wild Thing, that drum riff was like one of the first drum riffs I learned on the set. I won't play it for you now. But
on the desk?
Yeah, I could, but maybe later. So we got Riley on to talk about that because it's kind of a different kind of act that the Bancor South Arena is bringing in. And we'll have crime reports today. Crime reports.
Any wacky, good crime
wacky
going
shenanigans.
On?
Oh, yeah. And we had a mugshot subject leave a comment on the blog. She wasn't happy. I'll tell you all about that later. Yeah. Yeah, I had to mark it as spam. Sorry. So, anyway, we got a good show coming up. Let's get to it. Hey, we've got Riley Manning in here now.
Hey, y'all.
The very hirsute Riley Manning. What's up?
Nothing much. Just got to go look up what hirsute means.
Means
after this.
Have a lot of hair.
Ah, yes.
On your head and face.
It is still cold, so.
The beard is rocking the beard nicely.
Thank you.
Riley. Oh.
Go ahead.
Sorry,
Emma.
Brad.
No, go ahead.
Are you growing your hair back out?
I mean, it's cold, so.
So you're just. Yeah.
Yeah, every time I think about cutting it, it's during like a 70-degree weekend, and then on Monday, it's cold again. So I'm like, nah, I'm going to save this $20 for another day.
Nice.
Makes sense. Practical. Yeah,
looks good. Between that and what I've got going on here, people can't see, but some people might call it a Fu Manchu going on. Getting ready for, getting testing out some things for Mustache Bash next month. March 19th.
Excellent.
So between you and me, we could just like walk around intimidating people, shaking them down for money.
For sure. Absolutely.
And why not?
So, Emma, do women experience like beard envy? Like, do y'all ever wish?
Do because... I wish that I could grow a beard?
Yes.
No.
Right. What's funny, though, my daughter, Trinity, has this thing about mustaches. She just loves mustaches.
I mean, they're cool. Like, I think it's cool. Like, I think it's cool that y'all have hair on your face, but like... I don't want it.
my wife is not a fan of this look that I have. In fact, neither are my daughters. Basically, all the females in my house. Although the baby, Ellie likes it. She smiled at me yesterday. She saw it.
She can't say that she doesn't like it.
Todd Sherman,
yeah.
Former and missed journal photographer, has this great story about the first time he shaved his mustache. Lucas, his son, just wouldn't talk to him. He was very upset. He's very, very upset. So
I was a little afraid that Ellie might not recognize me or freak out, but she was like just her normal, cheery self. Mm. She still likes me.
Good.
So I'm just going with the story that she likes the mustache.
That's excellent.
Yeah. The wife is like, you're not going to keep that until Mustache Bash, are you? Well,
it's a very true grit. I'm into it.
We'll see. I don't know. I was kind of going for the Sam Elliott thing. And then the sideburns, I don't know what I'm going for there.
Sam Elliott.
Brad, you know who Sam Elliott is. Tombstone.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
he played
yeah.
Virgil Earp.
That's right.
And he's played a lot of others. Gotcha. So he usually plays a cowboy type in the movies.
I used to love Westerns, and I still do. I just haven't seen many since I don't have cable anymore.
Don't have cable? Mm-hmm. What do you do with yourself?
Not all. We read books in my house.
Read books?
Mm-hmm.
It's a millennial thing.
Dang millennials.
I don't have cable either.
Wow. Nice. Man. Netflix?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, of course. Yeah. That's what I usually watch anyways, Netflix. Yeah. Well, speaking of finding stuff to do, let's segue into this concert you wrote about. We had something on it late last week about this. I don't guess we've talked about it on the show, have you, Chris? So I'm excited about this. It's this concert, this tour. It's coming to Tupelo April 16th. I Love the 90s, featuring, if you haven't heard about this yet, make sure you're sitting down, Salt and Pepper, Vanilla Ice. Yeah. Coolio.
Salt and Pepper's here, and we're in effect.
Tone Loc. Kid and Play. Mm-hmm. And Color Me Bad. They could have left them off the bill, but that's a...
Bite your tongue, sir.
20 years ago, that would be like an epic lineup, and to me, it still is an epic lineup. Just saying.
Yeah, you know, you hear these stories about people who write these unbelievably popular pop songs, and... they kind of overshadow like the band itself, like
right.
You know, Warrant. what's his name? Janie Lane, lead singer of Warrant. They wrote like "Be My Cherry Pie" in like 24 hours.
Yeah,
just as like a single, and it like that's the only song people know by them. Yeah. But I mean, you know, it seems like these acts are still having fun with their, you know,
more power to them. Yeah, remember last year, was it Salt and Pepper had that commercial? Maybe in a Super Bowl ad, yeah. I forget. But,
push it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't remember what the product was.
Yeah, I mean, this stuff is just, like, ingrained in us, yeah. Like, in our cultural DNA now. Like, seventh graders know Ice Ice Baby. Like,
how do you not?
Hugely ironic. And probably Vanilla Ice's, like, later heavy metal cover of his own song.
I mean, didn't hear that one.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Vanilla Ice just seems to manage to stay in the public eye to some degree. Even if it's getting arrested, as he did recently.
Sure.
He had his TV show for a while. He may still have it. Some kind of fixer-upper show or something. Something to do with houses. I don't
HGTV.
Know. Yeah, Vanilla HGTV Ice. Will put anything on there.
Cooking show.
Yeah, yeah.
Ingredients, vanilla, and ice.
As an 80s/90s kid, I kind of fall into a weird category because I was born in 75, so I hit... teenaged them in the late 80s and then went to high school, graduated in the 90s. But this is right in my wheelhouse. Okay.
Yeah.
As I mentioned earlier, top
Brad
of the show.
Is pumped.
Tone Loc. I mean, come on. I remember he did some acting too. I don't know if he still does. He was in Ace Ventura, the first Ace Ventura.
That's right.
Movie. Yeah. Going way back. Y'all didn't know that? Even Chris is like, what? He played one of the cops.
I didn't know that.
In Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. You've seen that at least.
Keep the laces out.
The guy with the deep, raspy voice, that was Tone Loc.
It's been a while.
Emma was like born like the year before that movie came out, so you probably haven't seen it.
This is all over my head.
Jeez.
Do not go in there.
I know Riley's seen it, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're a movie
absolutely.
Fan. Movie buff. So anyway, you got Tone Loc and you got Coolio.
Mm-hmm.
He was huge. I mean, he was pretty darn big in the 90s, okay? I mean, Tone Loc's pretty big, but I think Coolio probably had more hits than any of these people, except maybe Salt and Pepper. I don't know for sure, but it seems like he had a longer shelf life.
Yeah, Coolio, I mean, Coolio came along in sort of a gangster rap era. I mean, early 90s, that kind of art form is just kind of making a way for itself. So he was kind of a big deal. I mean, more than like, you know, and I think his songs may have had a little more weight than say like Ice Ice Baby.
Yeah.
Granted, I don't think I've ever heard another Vanilla Ice song.
The remake he did of Play That Funky Music, that was his second hit.
Yeah, but like a Vanilla Ice song other than Ice Ice Baby,
no.
Which isn't totally original either.
No, he sampled David Bowie, didn't he?
Refresher, yeah.
Yeah, so which a lot of you kids may not know, but Yeah, but yeah, Coolio, I actually heard the story once. Rick Ray, former Mississippi State basketball coach, he's big time into hip-hop, in particular 90s. He's a fan of, like, A Tribe Called Quest and those kind of acts. But he said he was in an airport not too long ago, a few years ago, and he saw Coolio. And he said Coolio was still trying to rock that sort of weird dreads he had, but he's balding really badly, so he had, like, two or three of them left.
It's a sad situation.
It's kind of like Coolio just need to shave it, go for the slick, bald look, maybe. I don't know. I haven't seen a picture of him lately, but I don't care. It's going to be awesome. He gets up there and does Gangster's Paradise and whatnot.
It's going to be a pretty cool concert, I think.
Yeah, and it's kind of something different, too, which is what they're going for at Vancouver South Arena, I think. They're trying to diversify, aren't they?
Well, they've been, like, fishing for bigger acts for a long time and, you know, diverse acts, too. And so Todd Hunt, the executive director up there, said that, you know, they were just finally, for whatever reason, having people started saying yes to play in there, which is awesome. I think that signifies kind of a, you know, a leveling up of Tupelo, I suppose. And, you know, the country acts are all well and good, but I don't know. It seems to, if you have these other acts, it seems like it has more people paying attention to the Bancorp South and things that are coming there, like R. Kelly's tour last year, and then Ray Shremmerd's.
Shrimp Fest.
So
is that going to be a Shrimp Fest that said first annual? Are they going to be coming back to Tupelo every year?
I think that's
year?
The plan from what I understand.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they're trying to branch out into, I mean, you know, like you said, the country concerts, I mean, that's in a lot of people's wheelhouse around here being Mississippi. But it's like every time you see another Jason Aldean or Luke Bryan or whatever, you're like, okay, cool. Well, we haven't seen this before. So it's nice to see him go a different direction. I mean, it's still – you know, I don't know how many. I tend to gravitate toward more non-mainstream music, and I don't know how much of that they'll have in the future. I mean, you know, they got to sell tickets, so I get it. But this to me is like a really good alternative.
Well, when you think about a tour, right? Whether it's like a Ray Shrimmer tour or like a Jason Aldean tour, pretty much everybody on the tour sings sort of the same kind of music.
Yeah.
Right. So this is interesting to me because it's a tour where the sort of like common denominator of these artists isn't genre, but like a time period.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I don't know. I think that's a really neat way to go about doing a, you know, quote unquote tour.
Yeah, and apparently kind of how they talk a little bit about Riley about how they kind of came about booking this because Todd Hunt, he said he'd heard about somehow about them playing in Texas in a venue.
Right. Todd said that they had some sort of contact with a venue in Texas. I don't know if somebody who works with the Bancorp South Arena went to this concert or if they just know people. I don't know. But anyway, they did the show in Texas and just had a really good response and like a huge turnout. Like I said, everybody knows these songs, so that makes sense. And so Todd said that it obviously like struck a chord with people, and he said that it sounded like, you know, he felt like playing in Tupelo would do the same. So, you know, they went after them, and sure enough, here they are.
Yeah, it seems like the 90s nostalgia is starting to become a bigger thing now, which makes sense. And the reaction around here seems to have been pretty huge. I remember we put that on our Facebook page the other day. We had like three paragraphs about it, and it had like 200 plus shares on Facebook. I mean, they're going to sell some tickets.
Sure. And like, I don't know, again, if you think about the 80s, like, the 80s seemed to me to be dominated by like hair metal, right? And maybe like pop music, right? But like, you know, Tone Loc, Coolio, Vanilla Ice, Salt and Pepper, like, I don't know. It's just like a really wide range of like music.
I mean, it's all basically hip hop, but it's got different types of hip hop, I guess you would say.
Yeah.
Or slash rap, whatever
it's
you want to call
fun.
It.
I'm going to order some LA Gear sneakers.
The light up kind?
That's
the kind that light up?
The only kind, that's right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Maybe like a windbreaker of some kind.
I'll have to go see if I have any Duckhead shorts laying around.
I actually found my old Game Boy.
Yeah, some Jerbeau jeans.
It's just like that. What was that VH1 show? Like, I think it was called, like, I Love the 80s or I Love the 90s.
Yeah.
And they would, I don't know. So, like, this concert for me kind of just opened up kind of a Pandora's box of like, you know, the original Game Boy with the green screen and like,
oh yeah,
just all that kind of stuff.
The 90s were pretty cool in my book. And musically, the 90s were kind of all over the place. I mean, there was some really bad music in the 90s, but you had the grunge scene come on. Hip-hop really hit its stride, I feel like, in the 90s. It's an interesting time. But I probably have a better memory of that than anybody else in here, because I'm the old guy.
That's all right. We're all old except Emma.
Except for me. Wait, Riley, when were you born? What year?
1989.
Okay, so you've got some memories of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't... I can't.
You were born in 93?
93.
Good Lord. You're my brother's age.
You're almost still a teenager.
That's rude. That was rude.
Brad, I'm a grown woman.
Look, if you pay taxes, you're an adult in my book. So. Yeah.
Thank you, Riley.
Okay. Welcome. Okay. Riley, that's good stuff. Y'all can find the story in today's journal at djournal.com. April 16th. Tickets go on sale, what, this Friday, don't they?
That's right. Yeah. And they will be between, from what I understand, $29 and $69. Is that what I had in the article?
Yeah, $29.50 and $69.50 before whatever service charges they always add. So worth the money to me. Absolutely. Again, I'm getting me a ticket.
Go for it.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
Brad's going to be on the front row. Oh, crowd totally. Surfing.
Rocking the stash.
Effect.
I can't wait.
Filling your brain like a poisonous mushroom.
There you go, bud. Thank you, Riley.
See you.
Now I want to take a second to remind you guys about the Entertain Us Movie Contest here at the Daily Journal. Short films by local filmmakers will go head-to-head in the Daily Journal's first Entertain Us Movie Contest. The submissions are in, and now we need you to determine the winners. Voting will take place daily at djournal.com/entertainus. There will be one head-to-head contest each weekday, and winners will advance in a bracket-style competition. Voting begins today and lasts through March 6th. Watch the videos, choose your favorites, and be entertained.
Time now for today's news memo, and for more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. Stephanie Parrish had always planned to volunteer with Boys and Girls Clubs after she graduated from college and got a job. Now she works there every day. Parrish has been serving as the unit director for the Haven Acres Boys and Girls Club in Tupelo since mid-November. She's a 2009 graduate of South Pontotoc High School and received her master's degree in counseling last summer. William Moore has a feature story about Parrish in today's Daily Journal.
The University of Mississippi has been added to a definitive list of the top doctoral research universities in the United States. The university was placed on the Carnegie Classification of Institutions of Higher Education's list. It is one of 115 universities with the highest amount of research activity in the nation. The group represents the top 2.5% of institutions of higher learning.
The Shepherd Center is nearing its 25th anniversary. The center has a mission of empowering senior citizens to live independently. In 2015, its volunteers completed more than 520 transports for senior citizens and logged more than 2,000 service hours. The Daily Journal's Jack Orsborn has a feature story about the center in Sunday's Daily Journal.
Longtime Salvation Army volunteer and supporter Jenny Lynn Johnson was named 2016 Outstanding Citizen during the 53rd Junior Auxiliary Charity Ball. JA President Marty Brown highlighted Johnson's ongoing dedication to serving others. Johnson and her late husband were two of Salvation Army's first volunteers 40 years ago. The annual Salvation Army Thanksgiving dinner began when the couple prepared a Thanksgiving meal in their kitchen for 125 people.
Ryan's in Tupelo was among 74 restaurants that were closed by parent company Ovation Brands of Greer, South Carolina on Thursday. The Corinth location remains open. Ovation Brands Vice President of Business and Development Peter Donbevan said in a statement, Ovation is trying to stabilize and enhance performance of the company. I need to remind y'all real quick about Thrive Marketing, a full-service digital marketing company located in Tupelo, providing websites, search engine optimization, social media management, email, and text messaging services for local businesses. Online at thrive.ms. Hey, it's Lauren Wood on the show now. Welcome back, Lauren. How you doing?
Hey, Brad.
A sometimes co-host.
Yep. Haven't in a while.
That's true. It's Emma's turn today. Mm-hmm. You'll have another turn soon, I promise.
I still think we should do a me and Lauren show.
Oh, totally. That needs to happen.
Yeah. We got to schedule it. We
should do it the day Ellie comes on to talk about Moon Magnolias, too.
Ooh, that would be fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it'd be the best show ever.
Probably would. Ratings would go way up. And then Derek and I would be
Are there ratings for this?
Okay. Bye.
Sure. Nielsen ratings? We get Nielsen right now.
There will be. There will be ratings for this.
Actually, I think for this. That one. I think radio is like Armatron or something.
Not yet.
Ratings. But anyway. No. Anyway, Lauren, you had the photo essay this week, the InFocus photo essay. Yeah, Doug. Yes. Every Monday. It's a cool thing that runs on page 2 and, of course, online at djournal.com. This week's subject matter, yummy cakes. Creative cakes.
And I'm actually surprised it took me so long to be like, I need to do a bakery.
Seriously,
like,
because you make tremendous cakes. You made my birthday
cake. I'm not as, definitely not as good, obviously, as Creative Cakes and her crew. Like, you know, even there, I was like, I took a cake decorating class, but you guys are amazing. Like, it was really cool to see behind the scenes and, like, in a commercial kitchen and what they do. You know, because I just, like, do a little cake here and there or make up, like, some frosting, but they're, like... They're like, we make frosting like 20 pounds at a time.
Jeez.
It's like, wow. And they can just whip up cake and it turns out great every single time. You know, like it's just, it was really cool to see. So
you must have learned a lot, I'm sure. Took some tips.
Mm-hmm. You know, just like little things here and there. Like it was cool that, you know, they like wrap their cakes in like saran wrap to keep them, you know, on the shelves before they were frosting them, you know, so they don't.
Right.
Or like little things. They have like containers of frosting they keep, then they like mix for colors that they keep, and just like little things like that. Or like this, there's actually a photo of, I've actually wondered how you do it. I've seen it before, but it's like a candy stripe.
Yeah.
And she was like doing it on the edge of a cake, and I'm like, oh, that's really cool to be able to see it like being happening right in front of me.
Yeah. Yeah. That one. Well, you gotta have a lot of patience. That looks like a tedious
process.
Yes,
it took
process.
Her a while to do that one. Yeah. So.
Yeah. So, is there certain things they do that you like to do when you're baking? Whether it's that or I don't know, they use fondant. I don't know if you use that.
I have never worked with like fondant, so it was also really cool. Like they were molding shapes and they made like Lego pieces and even like shotgun shells and they were painting with like edible paint. You know, it's things like obviously have not ever ventured into.
Right.
I was a very amateur cake person, so it was awesome to see that.
It was like what's that show, The Cake Wars, where they have to like make
cupcake wars. Yeah.
I know there's some kind of show like that with cakes.
I always used to watch. They make like these giant cakes, and they're really tall, and they have to like move them from the table.
Yeah,
like,
I know what you're talking about.
It's like $10,000 on the line.
Yeah, there's that one guy, what's his name? The
Cake Boss.
The Cake Boss. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah, he does stuff like that. So well, that's like your next, the next step of your
evolution. Totally. Yep, like a 16-foot cake. No, they actually, like Holly Whitworth, the owner, was telling me, they were like showing me and telling me about their kind of niche that they found is like Sweet 16 and quinceañera birthday cakes and like.
And the quinceañera is like a Mexican Sweet 16.
Mm-hmm, but for your 15th birthday.
15th, that's
yes.
Right.
Yeah. So it's. And, like, these super extravagant wedding cakes. Like, there was one that she showed me. They're like, we worked on this. Anytime they had idle time, the girls, one is Brooke Whitworth, which is Holly's daughter, and then Victoria Wallace, which is, like, a family friend.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
They would just sit and make these, like, ornate edible flowers. And this cake was – they showed me a picture of the bride and groom, and the bride and groom came up – it was on a table, but the cake came up to, like – halfway or the bride and groom came up halfway on the cake.
Wow.
And it was just like huge and like 10 plus tier cake.
Jeez.
With these flowers cascading down the whole thing. And I'm like,
how long has it taken to make a cake like that?
It took a while. Well, they said they could only bake and frost only so far out because it's, you know, it still has to be
fresh.
Like, yeah, fresh and edible. But like the flowers they could make in advance. So they were making those for a while before, you know, beforehand.
You wrote the story as well, and and they said that Holly Whitworth and the others that work there said the best thing they love about what they do is the reactions of the customers. That's got to be pretty cool when they walk in, and because customers go in with like, okay, this is what I want it to look like, and I'm sure most of the time it exceeds those expectations. Once you actually see it, it's like, wow.
And they were like, I didn't put this in the story, but they're like, it's great when we make a bride cry, but in a good way, because she's so like happy and excited about her cake and stuff and getting to see it. So
the thing about those kind of cakes that are just so ornately done and beautiful, it's like almost you don't want to eat it.
I know. Yeah.
I feel like you're like, it's like you take this priceless painting and just rip into it or something almost. But
it also tastes good. So.
That's the thing. I mean, they look good, but they got to taste good. Mm-hmm. Did you get the sample?
I tried a cupcake, a creme brulee cupcake. And Holly's like, I just kind of was playing around, tried a couple batches, just saw the recipe and was like, I'll try this. And made it. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this is so good.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Man. So where, remind me, where is Creative Cakes located?
It is out in East Tupelo on Main Street.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of exactly where, but like a little past the birthplace.
Right, right. Okay. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, good stuff, Lauren. You'll check that out at djournal.com in today's journal, the In Focus photo essay. Good stuff, Lauren. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hey, I need to remind y'all, this afternoon, you can go to djournal.com and watch as Bobby Harrison and myself talk about what's going on at the Capitol down in Jackson. And if you don't catch it live, you can watch the replay at djournal.com. So check that out. And also, check out a new episode of Prep Rally. That's one of our sports podcasts coming Wednesday. Be Gene Phelps and myself talking about high school sports in the area. You can listen to that on iTunes, your podcast app, or at preprally.djournal.com. And, of course, double coverage coming Thursday, Ole Miss and MSU Sports Talk with Logan Lowry and Parrish Alford. iTunes, your podcast app, or listen at doublecoverage.djournal.com. Okay, it is time now, Emma, for crime reports.
Time for crime. Da-na-da-da.
Nice.
That was my own little intro that I did there.
Let me just use that from now on.
Yeah. We can record that and...
record and drop it in.
Just use it right there. Just clip that and use it from now on. Time for crime. Da-da-da-da. Yeah, that's good. Okay.
Thanks.
I like it.
I practiced. Something.
Oh, good. Sat around yesterday practicing that, huh?
Didn't have anything else to do.
Jacob's like, what are you doing?
Why are you talking about crime so much all of a sudden, Emma?
Weird. Okay, we've got a few good ones here from last week. A Drive 1796 Saltillo man said some unknown men, some strangers, arrived at his property in a small white car. When told to leave, they replied, what are you going to do, whoop us? He called 911 and they left. So these total strangers, maybe looking for someone else would be my guess.
Yeah, it must be.
And he
said, did they want? They didn't want anything? They didn't?
I just said, he told he didn't know who they were. So we told them to leave. They're like, what are we going to do, whoop us?
Did you say yes?
And no, then no, I'm going to call 911. And yeah, the cops will whoop you if you don't leave. So, yeah, there you go.
He whooped them in his own way.
Exactly. Smart move. A North Gloucester store owner said a man, possibly with a gun, came into the store and told the owner to stop calling and harassing his wife. The customer said the owner punched him in the face twice, and other employees then helped hold him down. So the guy that came in with the gun possibly ends up getting the poo beat out of him.
He got whooped.
Yeah, he got whooped. The owner said he had a long history with the customer and his wife. He said the customer he said the customer grabbed him in the parking lot, tearing his T-shirt. He said he only punched the man one time in self-defense. So he says that the guy grabbed his shirt, so he punched him once. The customer says, no, he punched me twice, and then they ganged up on me. So I don't know, whatever. That sounds like a good time.
Sounds like a personal problem.
A teacher at a high school was doing an inventory of her classroom and saw a TV VCR combo on the list that had been missing since 1995.
It's the 90s, Brad.
She filed a police report in order to have the item removed from the fixed asset list. So she filed a report just for, I guess, housekeeping purposes. But the VCR, TV VCR combo, okay, not a small item, has been missing for 20 plus years and nobody noticed.
Whoever stole that TV VCR combo, congratulations. You got away with it.
I bet it hasn't worked in 10 years, but congratulations. VCRs, man. Mm-hmm.
I do remember those.
You remember VCRs?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, they really have kind of gone out in the last 10 to 15 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
DVDs and Blu-rays became
remember
big.
Going to get movies on VCR when they would come out at Blockbuster?
Blockbuster. Oh, yeah. Remember Blockbuster?
Blockbuster was fun.
Used to have one here.
That was a place to go.
I remember when this town had like multiple movie rental places. Yeah. Used to be one over next to near where Little Caesars is now. It's like called Southern Video or something over in that area. I think it's the other side of the street from where Little Caesars and some other places are. But yeah, missing for 20 years and no one noticed. So
good job.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that.
Nah, that's okay.
Shouldn't condone.
There's nobody. It's nobody's fault. It just happens. Somebody just walked out of there with a big TV.
Yeah,
VCR, kind of,
those things are huge.
And no one noticed.
They won't catch this for 20 years. Watch.
An officer watched a man enter an East Main convenience store around 10 p.m., stumbling and slurring his words. The man went over and smelled all of the snack cakes before walking out. The man said he'd been taking prescription tranquilizers and was about to take more. I didn't know you could get prescription tranquilizers. Don't those, like, knock you out completely?
Isn't that...
Maybe I watch too much TV, but...
Isn't that like a injection?
Yeah, that's what
it's it'd have to be. I don't know. The man... No, well, the man said the man had about 15 pills in his hand. Was he trying to kill himself? I don't know. Which he gave
Did
to the officer.
Did he get any snack cakes?
Apparently not. He had the 15 pills. He gave them to the officer, who was arrested for public intoxication and taken to jail. But he... I don't know. I mean, if he...
He didn't want the snack cakes.
I guess not. I don't know why you would sniff the snack cakes. I mean, those things keep for years, especially if they're Twinkies.
It's the same way, like, people go and look at clothes that they're not going to buy. They just want to,
like,
squeezing
imagine. The yeah. Or, like, yeah. Squeezing the fruit, make sure it's fresh.
I think that's different. Because normally you're going to buy the fruit, right? You're
going
to check
and see
if it's
good. Maybe he was going
to
buy the snack cakes. He's like, hey, these don't smell. These smell like they're at least 6 months old. I'm not going to touch these.
No, I think you just want to imagine buying them.
Maybe so. Maybe the tranquilizers just had them all hopped up.
Out of sorts.
I don't know.
I'd be out of sorts.
Yeah.
If I had 15 pills.
Yeah. I mean, he said he was stumbling and slurring his words. So I don't know if he'd even had anything to drink. That may have just been the pills. That's, yeah.
Might be his natural state.
I don't know. One more. This one's pretty good. Officers responded to a North Gloucester hotel at 3:30 a.m. Well, I'm sure.
Lots of good's going to happen.
Yeah. I'm sure great things happen at a hotel at 3:30 in the morning. Responded for a disturbance in a room. When police knocked on the door, the female inside yelled, "Who the expletive is this?" Excuse me. "Who the expletive is it?" When they asked her to open the door to talk, she instead raised the window and yelled, "What the expletive do y'all want?" You can fill in the blank there. Pretty sure we can figure it out. The woman did walk outside, but she continued to shout and use obscenities. She was arrested for disturbing the peace and public profanity. What a surprise. This is not how you react. Really, when anyone knocks on your door.
Especially the first time, maybe.
They knock on the door. I don't know if they said, "Hey, it's the police." If they didn't, whatever. It's 3:30. I can understand you yelling like that. Maybe it's 3:30 in the morning. Of course, I don't think she was asleep, but... Then you stick your head out the window and see that it's the police. Maybe you're a little more civil. It's just a thought. Maybe.
Wasn't the last time we talked about a North Gloucester hotel at 3:30 in the morning, it was the guy trying to get milk for his kittens? You remember that one?
It may have been. Yeah, the guy trying to get to call 911 to get milk for the kitten he'd found.
Yeah. I didn't hear that one.
You missed that one?
Yeah,
that was a couple months ago.
I missed that one.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. So this was some lady, though, this time.
I didn't know you could get arrested for public profanity.
You can.
I probably
at least
should
if you
watch
curse
myself,
then. If you curse at an officer,
yeah,
you sure can. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you curse.
You're walking a fine line there, Emma.
Yeah.
Yeah. Watch
yeah,
yourself.
I should probably be careful.
Yeah, probably should.
Because that's like my instinct, you know, when I'm in a public place.
Just start cussing.
Start yelling expletives.
Oh, boy. Well,
especially at Kroger.
Well, for me, at Walmart, that's my instinct is to start
cursing. Oh, yeah, Walmart.
Standing in the customer service line for 20 minutes, and my instinct is to start cursing and or start punching the wall. So
might want to watch yourself too, Brad.
Yeah, I know. Don't want to get arrested for
assault. I'm going to have to host the show all by
myself. Assault of a wall.
Assault of a wall. Or, yeah.
Assault of a building.
All right, so that's it for today's show. Reminder, you can follow us on Twitter at DJournalMemo. Drop us an email, memo@journalinc.com. It's journalinc.com. You can, of course, listen to us on iTunes, on the podcast app of your choosing, or at memo.djournal.com. I'm on Twitter at Brad Locke with an E. Emma's on Twitter. Emma, what's your Twitter thing?
We've been over this, Brad.
Well, you changed your name, so I'm still trying to get used to it. I've finally gotten your last name right, but now I'm still trying to get your Twitter handle right.
It's E-M-M Crawford Kent.
M short for Emma. At yes. M Crawford Kent.
With two E's, right?
Now you're just confusing everybody, Chris.
Two E's, one silent F.
Wait, what?
And
F's not silent.
And three M's. I had to get creative with my Twitter handle. It was already taken.
Yeah, Chris Kiefer is on there, at Chris Kiefer. Two F's.
Two F's. Him. Yeah.
Not well, I guess, is one of the F's silent?
Yeah, you can only hear one of them.
Which one is silent, first or second one?
The second one is silent.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Sound it out.
Oh, yeah. Kiefer. Okay, yeah. Makes total sense. I've sounded it out phonetically. Yeah. Obviously.
Phonics, man.
Anyway, so that's it for today. We'll be back on Wednesday. I guess Derek will be here. I'm going to go ahead and tell you I won't be here Thursday because I'm taking my daughter to a concert Wednesday night.
Tell us what concert, Brad.
In Birmingham. And going to be back really late.
What concert is it?
Some band called R5. If you have kids who watch Disney Channel, you probably know who it is because the kid that plays Austin Moon on Austin and Ally is in it, I think, and his brother, Riker, something, is in
it. I was just glad that she finally agreed to go with you. I mean, y'all should have heard him for months talking about who he was going to get to the R5 concert with him.
Right. Okay.
Finally, his daughter said, all right, Dad, thanks. I'll go so that you can get there.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. That's it. I'm a huge
R5, boy
band fan. R5,
if you're listening.
R5, yeah. Riker.
Brad is your biggest fan.
Tweet at Brad Locke. That's Locke with an E.
Yeah, thanks. That Riker kid was like on Dancing with the Stars last season, so you may know him from that.
Chris, I think he changed his handle to R5 Lover.
Okay.
You got to put Locke in there somehow, though.
R5.
Do I look like a guy who would be an R5 fan? Let's be honest.
I don't know what an R5 fan looks like.
R5 Locke.
Most R5 fans can't even grow facial hair. Let's put it that way. You could be an R5 fan for all I know.
I don't know who that is. I'm going to go listen to him after this.
You're not hip.
I might be a fan by this afternoon.
Okay. It's just R5, the letter R, number 5. That's it.
Something about Battleship.
I don't know
what
it
means.
Have
to look them up.
Battleship. R5. It's a hit.
Right?
All right.
Speaking of the 90s.
Yeah, the 90s. Oh, man. Oh, the 90s were great.
Let's not open this can of worms again.
Okay, I'll talk all day.
It was hard to close it last time.
Okay, we need to go now, so thanks for listening. For Emma Kent, Chris Kiefer, I'm Brad Locke. Have a good one.